Dark Wreath Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. Autumn semester 2009, this is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 7. Lecture 10, delivered on September 17, 2009. The title of this lecture is Applied Ratio Analysis.
Today, Applied Ratio Analysis. Before you, I have provided the financial statements of Amazon.com Inc. Amazon.com Inc., a publicly traded company with 431.81 million shares outstanding. These are the financial statements for December, for the years ending December 31, 2006, 2007, and 2008. In other words, this is just an exercise, a live fire exercise, but it's an exercise. Whatever information these financials have in them has already been impounded in the market's assessment. Long ago, there's nothing in here that would give a typical person, investor, much insight for a buy or a sell or a hold signal. However, that does not mean that there is not meaning in these financials, and they give us, as much as anything else, important markers that we will look at as this company's life proceeds. In other words, what we know from what we're going to do today is going to be imminently useful to us when we see the financials for the end of this year. What trends do we see? What is enduring? What kind of an assessment did we make that was accurate? Where were we off in what we were thinking? But again, there is first the technical, which we do, but that's not where financial analysts end. That's where we really begin. After we've done the technical breakdown, gotten the numbers, then we can have what constitutes for financial analysts fun. And that should tell you how sad our lives are that that's fun to do financial analysis. Here we go. We're going to work our way through the ratios. And I typically, just as for my own purpose, just my own preferences, I go first and do the liquidity ratios. Now, I want you to do these together. If you feel like you want to do them on your own, by all means. But I want you to do the ratios and report to me as quickly as you can. Calculate down the ratios. And I'm not going to be drill sergeant on you on this, but I do want you to get the information quickly out, because this is how we do it, is we get these numbers out on the table as fast as we can. So now with liquidity, and yes, you may talk. Please talk. It scares me when you're not talking. I think you're all zombies, and I hate zombies. Liquidity. The three liquidity ratios that we care about, and we'll do them for 08, 07, and 06, are the current, the asset, and the burn. The current, the asset, and the burn. And you should remember what the current, the asset, and the burn are. I want you to make sure that you have those formulas in your notes. By all means, current, asset, and burn for 08, 07, and 06. So that we can look at each one across the years, and we can look at the data across the three ratios to begin to formulate an understanding of the liquidity patterns of this company, its trends in liquidity. So when you get a number, call it out for the year and the ratio.
2008 current ratio is 1.29.
Damn, boy, you did that fast. 1.29. Give that man a cigar. He got it.
Current ratio for 2007
is 1.39.
Asset test for 2008 is 1.
1.00, right on the mark. We usually, by the way, do these to two decimal places, okay?
And make sure that you are trying to keep up as well as you can to get these ratios down. Because this is what I will do this on an exam or on a quiz.
And you can have your card formula, definitely that. You just want to make sure that you can do them fast for me. Okay, work it. What else?
Current ratio for 06 is 0.77.
No. Current ratio 07? Oh, yeah. I was going to say, whoa. That's default.
It's 1.33.
Thank you. 1.33. The current ratio for 06 is 1.33. What else do we have here? We've got the acid at 1.00 for 08. What else you got? I think I got one of these wrong, actually. I hope the hell that's not right. Suddenly the silence is coming back again.
Acid for 07 is
1.07. Acid for 07? Nope. Is it?
1.07.
Okay, what's around to the two decimal places? 1.07, okay, I'm sorry, I was not looking at it. I saw that last number. Okay, you're good. Okay, what else we got?
Burn for 08 is 0.62.
Burn? Mm-mm. Burn for 08. Look at only cash and equivalents on the burn. Absolutely not. Just use pure cash and its equivalents. In other words, things you can write checks out of. Now, that's interesting. What was the number that you gave me, though? And that included what else besides cash?
The intangible assets.
Okay, that's an interesting number. Okay, thank you for that anyway. Yeah.
Acid for 06 is 0.63.
Uh-uh. Acid for 06... That would be dramatic.
So
0.96. I get 0.98. Try it. 0.98. That's something, by the way, that is helpful to you. Look at the number that you've done in the context of the numbers that are for the same thing. If you get too much drama, that might mean that you've done a calculation error, although it might mean some drama happened in the company. Okay, how's our burn doing here? Yep, got it. 0.58 is the burn on 08. Go ahead. Third decimal place, if it's 5 or more, then you round the second number, second decimal place up, 4 or lower, round it down. Just keep it. What is it? 06 is what? 0.40 on the burn for 06. And we've still got an opening here for the burn for 07.
0.68.
Give that man a cigar. Actually, give him a pat right just above the left buttock. Oh, I was going to say easy there. Oh, hello, hey Kate. Now, okay, we got currents from 08 to 07 to 06, 1.29, 1.39, 1.33. Acids, 1.07, 0.98, and the burns, 0.58, 0.68, 0.40. Now let's step back and say, what do we got? What's at stake here? These are the liquidities. We can see that we had a significant jump in liquidity as far as current. And this actually applies across the board. We see the jump from 06 to 07 in the liquidity, and then we saw an easing back in 08. So we could make the conclusion that, well, okay, that's not my job here. It's your job. Talk to me. Conclude. What do you see? Well, let me frame it here so that you're not floating on the ocean in a sad little boat. Okay. Is
which is more likely to be the company's desire, 07 or 08, and why? We got a lifeline. Anyone want? You can use a lifeline. Go ahead. And I'll tell you another reason, too, here, is that what it looks like to me is that 07, and this is, again, preliminary assessment, it looks like 07 was actually out of kilter. And it looks like 08 is trying to return toward, not necessarily at 06. 06 had some serious scaries in it. But it looks to me as if 07 was more like an overcompensation, and now they're adjusting it back down into a territory that's somewhat more like 06. Like 07, they wanted to get a little ways away from, especially with the burns. Look at that burn in 06. That was a little scary down there. And now it looks like they overcompensated, or they made necessary adjustments in 07, and now they're shaving it back and fine-tuning in 08. Now, when we look at the end of year for 09, what I would expect is to see 09s look more like 08s, and maybe a little bit, even more, a little bit of an easing back still further. But it looks like 08 was more where they were looking to be. 07 was an adjustment period for them. That would be my assessment, and it could be wrong. Now, also, just, and your point was well taken. Say that again. What you said there.
They have more assets to cover their liabilities.
When? In 08. It looks to me like they have sufficient liquidity. Notice here that even after you get rid of inventory, which would be, you know, dimes on the dollars anyway, they could actually still cover their current liabilities with their current assets. And even when you get down here to the burn, where you're talking about just pure cash, they can cover about 60% of their current liabilities just with cash on hand. So they appear to be pretty comfortable territory right now. It gives me a little bit, I don't know, different companies, and this one's one that has a merchandise base to it. It's not bad. It's not bad. You'd have to see some comps to get a better feel for it, but it's in the right ballpark. Let me do profitability now. Profitability ratios. We go through them through the grinder. Profitability. Now, in terms of profitability, we got your gross margin, and we're going to do 08, 07, and 06 again. And this is a little bit, this is the long haul. This is the heavy duty set. We got our gross margin, which of course is sales over, net income over sales. We've got our operating margin, which is EBIT over net, gross margin is net income over sales. Operating is EBIT over sales, and then you got your net margin, which is your net income over your sales, and then we've got ROA and ROE. ROA and ROE. This is the long haul. Once we get through this, the picture begins to get a little more interesting, especially by the time you get to the end. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Look at it,
it's cash and equivalents in this one. And I'm so glad you asked that. Whenever you look at financial statements, in the real world, I mean, they're not, no one does things exactly according to what a textbook tells you is supposed to be seen. You're going to see all kinds of oddities and differences from what you've learned in a class. And that's one of the reasons that I'm doing this, and I'm so glad you brought that up. One of the reasons I'm doing this is so that you can move it out of our stiff formal structural terminology into what we see. Another set of financials would have different words in it, and you're right. I mean, what the hey? It's like, where is the marketable securities and all that kind of stuff? And you'll see that there's another place where you get kind of the same thing, especially when you're talking about equity things. Different words and terms are used for the thing, for the same things. Okay, crank it out. Just yell it out if you got something for me. Especially if it's cheeseburgers. Oh, I guess I wouldn't be likely to come in a finance class. So I'll just sit here and mumble to keep the podcast going and keep from having dead air in the podcast as the work proceeds here. Okay. Anything at all? Give me it as a percentage with two decimal places. 22%. 22.2 decimals. Well, hell, I mean, why did you tell me that before? Sorry about that. It's those gross. The margins are percentages. Do them percentage plus two decimal places.
Yeah,
22.28%. 22.28. Give that man a cigar. You got it. Gross on 08 is 22.28%. God, I love this course. Ooh, I've got to start bringing candy to class to give people. Keep it going. 22.92. I got 22.93. Are you sure? It's okay. It's immaterial. Okay, 22.93. That's really, you know, if it's on an exam and you give me, you missed by a couple of those, I mean, I'd have to be a real asshole to mark you off. Although I did have a finance professor, you missed by one decimal at the hundreds, you were dead. Yeah, you got it wrong. Yeah.
I'm thinking of sales.
Sales, revenue. Let's go ahead, what? 5.07. Absolutely.
5.07. Return on equity for 08,
7.17. Let me make sure. You missed. Look, go to the equity at the bottom of the balance sheet. Okay? And then how do you what's your ROE? Net income over...
It's sales over...
No, net income.
It's net income?
Yeah, ROE is net.
Oh.
The ROA and ROE use nets. What's available after everything has been taken care of? Use the nets. Okay? Yeah.
Operating for 07 is 4.97.
Yep, operating 07 is 4.97. What else we got? Excellent. 4.25 is the operating margin for 06. Do it as a percentage with
24.14.
Good. ROE is 24.14. 24.14% for the ROE for 08. Good. Nice.
ROE for 07, 39.77%.
Yep.
Net for 07 is 3.1321.
Give it again, 3.21, yep. It is. ROE for 06 is 44.8. ROE for 07 is 39.77. ROE for 08 is 24.14. Go ahead.
Net for 06 is 1.77.
Yep. Now, all we got are the ROAs. What do you got for me?
What kind of return on assets are we talking about here? You're going for your total assets. For ROA?
Yeah.
ROAs should be small compared to ROEs. Remember, assets are larger than equity.
For 7.76%.
Give the man a cigar. And actually, you look like you could actually smoke a cigar and carry it off. It'll take a few years. You got to get a little bit older, but you could use nothing giant. Don't do one of those stupid, you know, things.
What kind of
cigar? I would recommend for you, actually dry cured, something like a Villig or Kiel, one of those small little cigarettes so that you could sit in a cafe in Belgium and Brussels and just sit there looking surly and I could come up to you.
Does people watch and look angry?
No. No, there's a purpose. You see, you don't want to just look angry for no reason. That makes you French.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Specifically Parisian. In Brussels, you have to look angry because, one, you couldn't score on any hash. Two, you couldn't score on a cheap prostitute. Or three, you just don't have any friends because you're Dutch and no one likes Dutch people. Even the Dutch don't like the Dutch. Of course, the French hate themselves, so how could they ever have anyone else like them? Yeah, of course they are. People say, well, the French hate Americans. No, they hate everyone. They hate themselves. They hate their dogs. Read Albert Camus. What is it? 7.34%. Okay, we got one more ROA. One more ROA. 4.35%. Survey says, bing, you got it, 4.35%. Now, while you're cleaning this table up for the profitability, let's talk turkey. Go ahead.
Over the ROE, what did you put?
What did I do what?
You said it's
ROE. Net income over equity. Total equity. Net income over total equity. Net.
Yeah, that's why.
That's the way I do it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I
net. Do net. Did I write sales last? Okay, spank me hard and call me Doris. I don't know why I would have said it. I do nets on these. I do nets on these. And I'll tell you why I do it. It'll actually sort of make sense. You see, net is what is available after you've paid your bills. So I want to know how hard these assets are working to pay the bills on these companies. ROA, net over assets. Oh, God. Yeah, you can do it with sales, too. It doesn't hurt to do it either way, and I'd be specific on an exam what I wanted. But here I'm interested in how hard the assets are working to produce money for the shareholders and how hard the equity is working that they've gotten to produce new money for the shareholders. Now, let's talk about this here. Okay, notice how the gross margin from 06 to 07 to 08 is 22.93, 22.60, 22.28. You notice that's a very tight band. The gross has been staying very consistent. So they've been holding their percent of sales that goes to the production of the sales directly quite tight. That would be not that that's just good management, of course. They are book merchants as much as anything else, but they sell a lot of other things too. They've got music and books. So what it tells me is that they are very carefully maintaining the ratio of what it costs to provide one of their goods to what they sell it for. They're holding that ratio very tight here on the gross. But then look at your operating. It gets a little more interesting there. Notice how operating has been working its way up, which would indicate what? If the gross is staying tight, but the operating is rising, what is that? Go ahead.
You're earning more before
Which, be more specific. What? Why?
A bigger profit.
Okay, I don't want to keep asking the same question, but what would cause that? What would they be doing?
You're spending less than your inventory.
Not spending less. Don't use inventory. This is just your basic expenses. They seem to be cost-cutting. They seem to be able to generate sales with less of those selling and administrative types of cost. Maybe they're having everyone unscrew one of the light bulbs in their three light bulb sockets. Whatever it is, they appear to be able to generate sales with fewer dollars expended in the general expenditures category to create those sales. That is the indication that is being given to me. Now let's look at our net. We've had a definite, nice rise in the net income. 06, in the context of 07 and 08, definitely they have tightened this operation up quite a bit. Why is it, if you're looking at those financials, what is going on? What caused the net to rise dramatically? Notice that it's more than just the operating rising. Their net is right. Definitely operating is going up. The operating ratio is going up. But net is going up faster than operating is. So we clearly, there seems to be cost control being executed. But something else is going on that's causing net to rise fairly aggressively, even compared to the operating margin. What is it? What do you see? Go. That would have been showing up here. That would have been reflected somewhere higher. This is something that is between operating and net. Yeah.
Taxes?
What about taxes? How would they be controlling taxes?
They're
on a higher tax bracket. Do you see it in the financials? Are the financials indicating that their tax exposure, or rather their tax incidence, I don't mean exposure, I mean tax incidence, is declining? Their taxes decreased.
The percentage decreased?
Did it?
Well, it doesn't look to be like from 06 to 07, it actually went down a little bit, but then...
Then it just skyrocketed. So it can't be that either.
Sales also went up quite a bit, though. It didn't raise by a whole lot.
There's one other thing you're not noticing here. Look at their interest. There's a key there that's going to give us something to tell us a story later. What happened to the interest expense? Well, isn't that interesting? And we're going to see something quite noticeable a little later. Okay, let's talk turkey here. ROA. How hard are the assets working to produce net income? Are they doing better and better? Is that an improvement? Clearly, this company is making those assets work for their dinner. Excellent. But how hard is the equity working to produce net? Not so good. Oh, my God. Their profitability slid. Their ROE slid from a whopping 44.08% in 06. It skidded down to 39.77 in 07, and now it has dropped clear down to 24.14% net over, and I do it as net over equity. I do recognize that's a little non-standard. It's usually sales, but I like to look at it this way. Something is seriously happened. Yes?
The total equity has risen over 60
Yes.
Times.
Excellent. Precisely, because the denominator is rising, so you're sharing among a larger pool of investors. The same, the pie is growing, but obviously the pool of investors is the amount of shares outstanding has grown faster than the pie has grown, so each person is going to get a smaller piece of the pie. Is there anything that I just mentioned a few minutes ago that could be related to that? Clearly, the equity base is growing rapidly. What did I mention a minute ago that seems to be kind of related to that? And it's okay if you don't see it. You'll see it in just a minute. It'll just come at you and slap you around. Okay. Let's just go on here. Let me do the...
When you're talking about tightening up operations.
Nope. You'll see. Let's do the activities. Now we can't do account. We can't do receivables turnover. Why can't we do receivables turnover here? We can do some activities, but we can't do receivables turnover. Why can't we do the receivables turnover?
No information on
what?
Inventory?
No, we got inventory. That's not, we're looking at accounts receivable turnover. We can't do it because we don't have credit sales. It's not being reported here. There's not a breakdown of total revenue into how much of it was money and how much of it was credit, on credit. So we're lost on that one. We might be interested in that one. Well, not might be. We'd like to know it. It's not here. So the best place we could hope is check the notes to the financial and hope notes to the financials and hope to God it's there, because I mean we really would like to know how much their sales are based upon credit and how much of it is just direct cash. And I talked about that before. We can do inventory turnover though, and we can do the asset turnover. So doing the inventory and the asset turnover, what do we get? And inventory turnover is sales over inventory, and asset turnover is sales over assets. Yeah, sales over total assets. Okay, what do we got?
2008 inventory, 13.69.
Inventory turnover, 13.69. That sounds right. Yep, 13.69. Inventory turnover. So in other words, and that's a factor, that's an X times. So they turned their inventory over 13.69 times. 12.21 and 06. What's 07? 12.36. They're clearly, okay, well, let me not do that. Oh, that was close.
Another one bites the dust. Okay, asset turnover.
For 08, it's 2.31.
Yep. Asset turnover for 08 is 2.31.
07 is 2.29.
Okay, that's our activities. We'll lay off the activities from here. But clearly, okay, no. You tell me. What's going on with inventory? What are they doing?
What do you see? What do you see from the trend? What's the trend telling you?
Yes, they're working their inventory. They're moving inventory in and out faster on a sales basis. So they are developing efficiency. They're rotating their inventory. Does that mean it could mean that they're keeping less inventory and then just bringing it in more as they need it? Or it could just mean that their sales are going up so good that they are able to burn through their inventory quickly. Now, as far as asset turnover, the picture is not as clear. They were turning over their assets on sales faster in 06. They lost a lot of steam on that in 07. And then in 08, it recovered a little bit. Most likely, that's a technical, what's going on? What would be your first guess about that? Go ahead. Don't do the inventory thing. Assets are definitely going up. That's the thing that you're right. The assets, this looks to me as if they've had a considerable capital expansion in 07, and now those assets are beginning to work just a little bit harder in 08. But you're right there. It appears to me that they took a lot more of on in terms of total assets. I see what your point is with the inventory. Apparently, it looks as if even though inventory is being burned faster, their total assets are going up. And so the total assets must be going up pretty quickly. And what happened was they had more assets come in 07, And now you're beginning to see those assets begin to work a little harder in 08, a little bit. Now, whether we see this go up much more or not, hard to say. It would depend upon whether they're still in this capital expansion, expanding their asset base or not. It's hard to tell right now for that one. Now, the debts, the debt ratios. And we're going to just do two here. Debt to total assets. And the times interest earned. For 08, 07, and 06. Debt to total assets. And for the debt to total assets, in 08 they had some short debt. Put that in with that long-term debt. I want total debt. Now in 07 and 06 they didn't have any short debt. But they did in 08. You see that 08 they had a little bit of short debt? Yeah.
0.07,
is that right? As a percentage. Do it as a percentage with two decimal places.
7%.
7 point. Oh, man. Yeah, these are percentages. These will be debt. Remember, total assets is as big as you can get. Debt would be a component because debt and equity together add up to total assets. So the debt as over total assets would be a percentage. What is it? Good. 7.12% is the debt to total assets in 08. What do we got in 07? 08
times interest earned is 13.69.
In 08, times interest earned is 13.69 times. And that'll be a little X beside that because that's a factor.
0.07 is
19.76%
of debt to assets.
What did you say it was? Yep. I get 19.77. Yeah. 07 times interest earned is 9.57 times.
06 is
5.83. 5.83 times is the times interest earned. Whoa, is that right? Yep, it sure is. And then... what is... debt to assets?
Oh, yeah,
29.04. Good, that's fine, though. That's fine. Okay, here we go. Here's your dinner. Here's your dinner. This is your money shot. Yeah.
For the debt that we used? For
08?
Yeah, I mean just for all of the...
it's total debt, which would be your long-term plus your short-term. But you'll see that only in 08 did they have some short, okay? Yeah. Now, I want you to look at these. What's been happening to the debt-to-asset ratio? It has gone down, down, down the ring of fire. They are really pulling back on debt as a percent of total capital structure. Do you see that? Make sure you see that. That, and notice what's happened to the times interest earned. What's happening to times? How many times over can they pay their interest? Way up. That would explain what was happening earlier. Remember when we noticed that the net margin was pulling up faster than operating was? There you go. And their interest is they're giving up on debt as a percent of capital structure. Now, what does that tell you about that equity, return on equity that was falling? Remember what I said about gains to leverage? How as you use more debt in an investment, it magnifies the power of equity, right? Do you remember that with the house example? What's going on here? Their return on equity. Yes, they are actually backing away from gains to leverage. This is a company that is not only not going further using more debt, OPM, to make the equity magnify the return on equity. This is a company that is actually stepping back
from using debt. And it's becoming more of an equity company. So that return on equity is going down, yes, because your equity base is expanding. But when we look at this, we see that it's also because this company is stepping away from the gains that would be had from leverage. They have decided that their shareholders they want shareholders who prefer something a little less risky, perhaps, for a company. And so you see here, just it's kind of an interesting thing that's going on. Now, I'm going to show, did I remember everything? Good, I did. Now, I'm going to do something here. I'm going to show you DuPont, okay? I'm going to do a DuPont for you here. Now, the DuPont method takes a ratio, one of the ratios, and it breaks it down into a product of two ratios, where you get a cancellation top and bottom. And at first it looks like, well, this is kind of a stupid thing to do. Watch, I'm going to do the one, which one did I want? I'm going to do net income over total assets equals net income over sales times sales over total assets. And you're saying to yourself, well, how did you come up with that one? That's easy. Technically, I pulled it out of my ass. No, it's a little bit more than that. But these DuPonts, you can do these all kinds of different ways. As long as you get the see how sales cancel top and bottom, so that's net income. Okay, well, why would I do this? What I want you to tell me is, what is the term we use for net income over total assets? What's the term I use for net income over total assets? Oh, yeah, that's ROA. What's the term I use for net income over sales?
Net margin.
Net margin. What's the term that I used for sales over total assets? What? Sales over total assets. Asset turnover. So in other words, when I look at ROA, it's actually being driven by two things. Now, if you would do me a kindness here, let me write down for 08, 07, and 06, the relevant numbers. For 08, 07, and 06, what were the numbers for ROA? What were the numbers 08, 07, and 06? 7.76%.
7.34.
Now, give me the numbers for net margin. What was it?
3.21.
You'll see what I'm doing here in a second. And then for 3.21 for 07, what was it for 06?
1.77.
Now what's asset turnover for the 3 years?
2.31.
So the numbers, asset turnover, 08, 07, 06, were 2.31 times, 2.29 times, and 2.45 times. Okay, here we go. Now let's look at what was behind the curtain of the return on assets. If we look here, we see that in 06, the ROA sucked. But if you look over here, notice that the asset turnover was actually strong, stronger in 06 than it was in 07 and 08. The weakness in ROA in 06 was entirely due to the weak net margin. And as we go up in time, notice how it is not asset turnover that is improving. Asset and turnover actually deteriorated somewhat. Actually, more than somewhat, a little bit noticeably. But what improved so strongly was the net margin. It was the improvement in net margin that strengthened the ROA so much. It was not anything but net margin improving. And net margin improved largely on the basis of what appears to have been cost-cutting and removing interest service burden from this company. This company cut out expenses, probably sales and general expenses, and it cut out interest expenses. That meant that its assets, that was what caused its return on assets to go up. The assets weren't living off as much fat to burn them. They had leaned out the company. Net margin, see how net margin got much stronger? That was what caused the increase in ROA. It was not the asset turnover. It was the return on assets. I'm sorry, the net margin that was propelling ROA to do the kicky thing that it did here. And that's an interesting thing. And that's the use of the DuPonts. I mean, they look kind of silly. It's like, why would you want to do that times and break it down like that? It's because then you can tease out the parts that were driving, the gears that were driving, for example, ROA. And you can do this with other ratios. As long as everything that you do in the string, the things cancel properly, and especially also so that whatever you write on the right side of that equation, you have a name for it, something you've calculated in your ratios tables. Then you can begin to see how some of the big dogs like ROA, ROE, and things like that are actually being driven by parts and which part it is that is interesting to you. So we can give this company applause saying, ROA, you definitely increased. Okay, now we can say, well, why did you increase? Why did ROA strengthen so much? Well, it wasn't because of the asset turnover. The asset turnover wasn't the cause. This company just has a better net. It's improving its net, and that is articulating directly over to ROA going up for this company. Getting the hang of what we do here? Watch. Now we're going to do a couple of last little things here. Earnings per share. I want you to do humor me. First of all, how much does Amazon pay in dividends? None. This is a company that is not paying a dividend, which means that this company believes that it, by putting the shareholders' money, what's left for the shareholders after the bills have been paid, it believes that it can do better for the shareholders by keeping every dime that is owed to the shareholders and investing it back in the company. It believes that it can provide a better risk-adjusted investment with that money that belongs to the shareholders than the shareholders could themselves with that money. That's a bold statement for a company. That's a bold statement. Obviously, it's working for Amazon. The investors are willing to ride with it. So we have no dividend yield to calculate. Dividend yield would be the dividend over share price. Dividend per share over share price. But we don't have a dividend yield here. So we can go right to a couple of other things. Now remember, the number of shares outstanding was what? 431.81. Yeah, it was 81 million. Okay. Number of shares outstanding. So now let us find out what the earnings per share is. Here the earnings per share will be up there at net income. Since they didn't pay any dividends, the net all becomes earnings of the company after dividends. So what have we got as far as the earnings per share go? The EPS, which would be the total earnings over
shares outstanding.
What do you get?
Excuse me. Boy, dinner's coming back. Okay. What do you got? What's your calculators tell you? And yes, these numbers are in thousands on that income statement. If it was weirding you out because you were getting such small numbers.
0.15.
Try it again, son. I think you got a zero missing.
Oh, I tried to do a percent. Sorry, 0.0015.
Like I said, you're not doing it in thousands. Those are numbers are in thousands there, and I swear it was there when I set these up, but it said in thousands, so you'd have to multiply that by 1,000. What you got? What you got? EPS would be. Like I said, those net incomes, all those numbers on the income statement and balance sheet are you have to multiply those by 1,000 to get the actual number. I gave you that in millions, so you've got to make sure that what you're using is in the right number, is at the right number of decimal places. So you've got to use every number you see there, you've got to multiply by 1,000 to get the actual number that is reported. About, give it to me, it's a dollars and cents number. Again, you're off a decimal place.
1.49?
Yeah, 1.49. This is $1.49. What you do is you've got to take what you see there, the net, $645 million. Yeah, because each of those numbers that's reported there has three zeros truncated off. Otherwise, the financial statement's just all over the place. So you got to make watch that. And that's why I left it like that and didn't warn you before now, is because you have to look to see what number size you have to multiply by. And by the way, if you look at Amazon, you'll see that the reported EPS is 1.52. What's the difference? Well, the difference would be that they would have taken the shares that were at the end of the year there. I didn't have those. I had the number of shares that were there now, which seems to be a few more. And that's why that EPS is a little bit down. Now, working this thing, okay, we got an earnings per share of $1.49. So based on that, and again, the ones you'd see on financials on the reported right now, the earnings per share would be $1.52. But don't worry about that. That's immaterial. Now we're going to do price to earnings, PE. The PE ratio is the current market price divided by the earnings per share. The market price per share. Now right now, it looks like close was $90.44 per share. So you can give me the price earnings ratio right here. What do you get? Y'all get about that? Now that 60.7 is a factor. What it is telling you, and I said this before, now it has a little more teeth to it, is every dollar that the company earned at the end of 2008, shareholders are that the company earned that belongs to the shareholders. The investment community is assessing that is worth $60 $2.70 in present value of future dollars that the company will have available for the shareholders. Again, what that's telling us is that the market, as of the end of today, said that for every dollar that the company was able to generate that belonged to shareholders at the end of last year, the company will create $60.7 that will belong to the shareholders as a present value from their future operations. That is, in my time, we got antsy when we saw price earnings ratios of 15. Now we've got 60. Extraordinary risk. You understand? They're saying that $90.44 will pay that, because we believe that every dollar the company makes that belongs to shareholders last year, that's going to make $60.70 over the life of this company as a present value. In other words, taking it and bringing it back to the present, which we'll do in just a couple of weeks. That's a lot of risk. Interestingly enough, though, notice the balancing act that's going on here. There's a strange little balancing act. If you didn't look at just PE, and we certainly can't tell where the PE has come from. All we're seeing is a snapshot now. If you were looking at the PE, taking a PE out of it, is this company becoming riskier from what you saw of this company? Is it becoming a riskier security or a less risky security? Overall, just from what you've seen today, what would be your assessment? And tell me why you see it. Take a guess. You got one or the other.
Less.
Good man. Now why? Well, hell, you told me to take a guess.
That's fine. Inventory and assets are both going up.
Say something a little bit less complicated. Less what?
They're taking on less debt.
Oh, yes. This company isn't borrowing money. How can you go into bankruptcy if you don't owe anyone? You see, this company, as it comes down in debt, it is deleveraging, which means that the probability of this company ever dying is very... Look at that time. Remember what the Times interest earned was? What was it at the end? 13 point something? I mean, they can pay what interest they owe 13.69 times over now, which would tell... means. I mean, they're never going to default. This company has backed away from debt, which is why a company would die. A company could die if a meteorite hit and blew it, but let's not get into these complicated movie scenarios. The only way a company can die is if it does not pay its debt holders. That's how a company dies. I'm sure someone's going to hear this podcast and say, well, you could have this. Oh, quit it. Very unlikely the company can die, that's a very safe company. So we have a company here that is becoming less risky. It is configuring itself more as a mature company. Amazon.com is one of the cyber companies, the new world companies, the computer, you buy stuff on that internets, through those internet tubes and all that kind of stuff. But here we have a company that is coming through that phase and it's establishing itself. We don't need debt. We're going to live off shareholder money. We're not going to borrow. We are going to do our business. We're going to grow our return on assets. We're going to mature. And we don't need to borrow to do it. Our asset base is working well for us. We're growing. We're not borrowing. We're just getting more owners of the company. We're becoming a much larger company through a much larger ownership base. Those are the markers of a company that is moving towards a more safe configuration. Now, later in the course, and I like to give windows, you just start using terminology and then later put some flesh on it. The company's beta right now is about 1.28. Beta is a measure of risk. Beta is a measure of risk. It's one of our classics. Basically, what beta tells you is the factor by which this company's return on stock is above holding a giant market portfolio. So if I told you that the beta of a company was 1.00, let's say you might as well just buy the market portfolio. Just buy a gigantic, well-diversified market portfolio. If I told you that the beta of a stock was 0.50, it is going to give you, return you, about a premium for the market, over the market, half of what the market premium is. That's basically what it's saying. As beta goes up, essentially you're saying this company is delivering a higher return over just holding a generic market portfolio. If you got a beta of 1 on a company, that says this is just like holding the market portfolio. If you got a beta of 1.28, that would mean that you're going to earn more than the market portfolio as a premium. But that means that you're also going to take more risk. Now the question here is, where has Amazon's beta been heading? My guess, and actually, as I said, I had not looked at Amazon before I came to school this morning. That was just not one of the portfolio interests I have. And that's why it was it's interesting to me. The question here is, where has beta been going? My bet would be that this company's beta has been going down. It was probably higher. Why would I say that? Because its debt load, debt to total assets, is going down. It's becoming more of an equity company. It's becoming more like the market portfolio, which is an equity portfolio, a perfect equity portfolio. 1.00, that means there's no borrowing. You just buy the market portfolio with your own money. So that would lead me to suspect that if I were to look at the beta for this company for the past few years, I would see that the beta has been sliding downward. I don't know if it has or not, but the anomaly is that PDE. What the hell? That PE is scary high, as far as I'm concerned. If I were an investment advisor, and I am not an investment advisor, so no one listened to this investment advice, before I grab this as a relatively safe investment, I'd find out what the hell that 60.7 times on the PE was. What's going on there? What is that? But the other signs are this is a fairly safe company. Now, there's going to be a surprise quiz next week, probably on Thursday, okay? So I really need you to be shocked out of your minds when I give it to you. And that's all I have for you today. I thank you.